This recording is a production of Faith Builders. This presentation was recorded at Reach 2013, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 14 and 15, 2013.
Well, let's talk a little bit about integrity, and this is a workshop. It's not a sermon, so I had my opportunity for that yesterday. So if you have questions or comments, you can put up your hand and make those comments. So there's quite a few things we should talk about here. Integrity is really the keystone of everything we're doing. Integrity is absolutely the keystone of everything we're doing. I was listening to the other ministries. We just listened to AF up here and Anabaptist Financial talking about managing $160 million. Do you think it's important those people have integrity? They've got $160 million in their hands. That's pretty important. What about those of us who teach and preach and sit in boards and committees? Is it important that we have integrity? Think so? Okay, really, really important, because we not only have money in our hands, we have people's lives in our hands. And, you know, we stand in front of people many, many times. We prepare, we teach, we instruct. It is so critical that we are people of absolute integrity. Well, in that case, we should know a little bit about what integrity is. You know, what's the definition of integrity? Reputation, as we say, is what people think you are, and integrity is what you really are. Integrity, I'm going to define as being the same all the way through. You know, someday I'll make this application work. I guess I haven't done it so far. But you could take a piece of walnut that's real genuine walnut, and you could cut across the corner, and you'd see walnut sawdust. Is that right? Or you could take a piece that looks like walnut, but it's actually covered by formica, and inside it's flakeboard. And if you cut across there, what kind of sawdust would you get? It wouldn't be walnut, would it? Okay, we'd find out what's really inside of there. So you can look like one thing on the outside, but what you really are inside is going to be the answer to what kind of a person you really are. So integrity is being the same all the way through. Not only being the same all the way through, but doing what's right at every moment. You've got to do what's right at every moment of every day. And it's difficult to live in that kind of integrity. But, you know, if you will think in terms of living right for the next 5 seconds, living right for the next 10 seconds, living right for the next minute, can you do what's right for the next minute? You know, most of us can. The psalmist says that his word is a light to my feet. Is that right? God's word is a lamp to my feet. And a lamp is not something that shines out there a half a mile. A lamp is something that lights your pathway for one more step. Anybody have the experience of carrying a lantern in the dark? Surely some of us have. Yeah, and that lantern isn't going to show you very far, but it's enough light for one more step, and we must be faithful in that step. So it's being the same all the way through. It's doing what's right all of the time, and it's being accountable. You've got to be accountable. There are people to whom you need to be accountable. There are people for whom I'm accountable. There are people to whom I'm accountable. And I get to a meeting like this, and I see men I've worked with for many, many years. I've made many phone calls. Times when I was in administration or working with many people and some issue comes up, and what do? I get on the phone and I talk to the men or men to whom I'm accountable. Talk to the board chairman, talk to the pastoral advisors, and I say, I just want you to know, here's what happened. This is what happened. This person said this, that person said that. 3-minute phone call, and there's accountability. And that person knows where I am. I know where they are, and I've been responsible to that person. We can't have mavericks in a Christian community. It doesn't work. We can't have people out there doing whatever they think they want to do at any moment. There's too much of that going on, and it does not work. I just want to read to you from Psalm 101. Psalm 101, if you're taking notes, you can jot that down on your paper there. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time here, but just listen to the words of Psalm 101, some selected verses. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Does that sound like integrity? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That's integrity. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That sound like integrity? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Do you know that thing you use on your computer is called a mouse, right? When you click that on the wrong stuff, the bad things come up. Is that right? And somebody quipped, as for me and my mouse, we will serve the Lord. You probably heard that one, okay? Can you say that at every moment? You're all by yourself, and you're all by yourself, and there's nobody around, and there's some ad comes up or whatever, and you could select something that's not good for you. What does the Bible say? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will not know a wicked person. We could go on in Psalm 101, but You know, it's a psalm that is absolutely bringing us to absolute integrity. And integrity means it's important for every person. You know, this building is built with components, many components. To make a clear span like this, are you fairly comfortable right now that this roof is not going to come down? Anybody worried about the roof coming down? No. Okay, we have a couple hands out here, yeah. I don't think the roof is going to come down. Why? Because every component in this building is made with integrity and installed with integrity. We start putting components in here that don't have integrity, and we're all in trouble, and the roof will come down. Okay, so is it important that you are a person of integrity, or is it just, you know, you think, well, I can get away with doing something that's not right because there are so many other people who have integrity that they'll hold the roof up, right? But I can probably get away with something that's wrong. No, that is not going to work. So integrity means, first of all, absolute truth. It means wholeness or completeness, the same all the way through, doing what's right all the time, being accountable to brothers and sisters around us. And the thing I really want to leave with you today, so I guess I'll start with it to make sure I get it done, and that is for you to understand the difference between loyalty and integrity. And there's a huge amount of difference here, and I need you to understand this. One of the reasons we're having struggles in business, struggles in the church, struggles at home, struggles in relationships, is people don't understand the difference between loyalty and integrity. So if you're my friend and I do something wrong and you're loyal to me, you're going to defend me. Right or wrong, you'll defend me because you're my friend and you're loyal, okay? But is that really integrity? Yes or no? That is not integrity. If you're defending something that's not right, that's not integrity, okay? And so is loyalty something good or something bad? Well, loyalty is only good or bad if integrity is there first. And so we've got to make sure that integrity is in our lives first. And then if the integrity is there, it's okay to be loyal. But when the integrity is not there and the truth is not there, then loyalty is a curse. Okay? Because you're being loyal to me when I'm doing things that are wrong. And this is why we're getting problems in the churches, why we're getting problems in ministries, problems in schools, problems on the mission field, problems everywhere, because people are making loyalty primary instead of making integrity primary. So if you forget everything else I say, that's the essence of what I want to say today. Well, integrity relative to God, you're his representative. If you want to be a man or a woman of integrity relative to God, first of all, you want to think that you are representing God. Everywhere you go, when I'm standing here right now, I'm representing God. I have no other choice. If I'm God's man, that's my responsibility. When I'm driving my tractor spreading manure, I'm representing God. When I'm teaching the word at SMBI or wherever it is, I'm representing God. When nobody sees me and I'm in my study at 3 o'clock in the morning on my computer, I'm representing God. You believe that? Can you do that? Can you be godly people of integrity? That's what God's calling us to do. There's no hypocrisy with God. You're not a hypocrite with God. You might be a hypocrite everywhere else, but God knows exactly what's in your heart. There are no hypocrites with God. So play games as long as you want. Just realize, relative to God, there are no hypocrites. Don't have a guilty conscience. Make sure your heart is right with God. If there's something not right between you and God, get it resolved. Absolute commitment to doing what's right. Absolute commitment to God. We're not going to turn to the right or to the left. We're going to stick with God and his word all the way through, and our life should be worship. Our life must be worship. I used to think that worship was over here and sin was over there, but now I realize it's not true. You're either worshiping or you're sinning. Whether you're changing diapers or programming computers or fixing airplanes or whatever you do, either you're worshiping or you're sinning. One or the other. So relative to God, we need to be people of absolute integrity. Relative to other individuals, fair treatment. Can you treat people fairly? Can you treat them in a way that's a blessing to them? Can you treat them in a way that is impartial? Treat them in a way so that there are no bullies. You know, bullies are some of the worst people we have to deal with. And if you can do something about that, you know, make sure you're not allowing bullying to happen in your church, in your ministry, at your home, in your school, wherever it is. Stand up for what's right. Make sure you're defending the underprivileged. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we need to do. Make sure there's fair treatment of everyone with whom you have to deal in your life. Bring healing to people. It's so important that we bring healing to people's lives. So many people are hurting. I look out over a group of people. You all have longings and hopes and dreams, but a lot of hurts too, a lot of pain. Can you find a way, you know, to be a person of integrity, that you're somebody they can trust? You're somebody they can depend on. You're somebody they can talk to without thinking that those words are going to go everywhere else. You're not going to broadcast those things. So relative to other individuals, treat them fairly, bring healing into their lives, bring hope into their lives. And we talk about this in class, how that we need to speak words of hope into people's lives. Your words are so powerful. You don't realize how powerful your words are. But from a person of integrity speaking hope, I think you're going to make it. I believe you're going to make it. I will stick with you. I will stand with you. I will support you in the difficult times. Very important that we, relative to other individuals, are bringing healing into people's lives. Don't cause people to offend or stumble. You know, there's so many things you can do that you say, well, you have freedom to do that. And the illustration I often use is that I don't wear a wristwatch. Is it a sin to wear a wristwatch? Oh, okay, this brother says no. Okay. Well, when I was growing up, the church I went to said it's a sin to wear a wristwatch because that's jewelry. So I didn't come here to tell you that it's sin to wear a wristwatch, but it might be a sin for me to wear a wristwatch. And why would that be? Okay, I developed a conviction for it, but also because I don't want to offend somebody. Okay? So can you relinquish some of your freedom because it might offend someone? You can say, well, I'm not going to be that legalistic. But if you're a person of integrity, you will value that other person highly enough that you won't do that. Because if somebody from that church would be here and I'd put up my hand and they'd see a wristwatch, they wouldn't hear one more word I said. So, is it worth to give up some of your freedom to be a blessing to other people without thinking of that as some kind of legalism? So don't cause other people to offend or stumble. Willing to give up some of your freedoms. And then boundaries. We talk about boundaries in five areas. And I don't have them listed here, but you can remember them by T-E-M-P-S, temps, T-E-M-P-S. We'll just talk about them a little bit here. First of all is time boundaries. When you're talking about being responsible and a person of integrity to other people, do you respect their boundaries? So you came in here and sat down at 11 o'clock, and 11:45, this is over, okay? If I'm still talking at 11:50, I have disrespected your boundary, your time boundary. So you have given me 45 minutes of your life. That's a boundary. If I go over that, I've disrespected that, okay? Boundaries are not walls to keep people out. Boundaries are for the purpose of respect and honor. I respect you, I honor you, and so the boundary is there to make sure that I do that. So we have time boundaries for the purpose of that. We have emotional boundaries. You know, if somebody has feelings, they come to you and they're crying, and you say, oh, get over it. You have ignored that boundary, that emotional boundary. They need to talk to somebody, they need somebody to listen. You don't listen, you don't pay attention. You've ignored that boundary. Mental boundaries, T-E-M, mental boundaries. You may have a thought, you need to express it. And if I'm a person of integrity, I'll say, well, yeah, tell me what you're thinking. And if I won't allow that, and I just heard this morning somebody talking and said they were never allowed to express what they were thinking. So their mental boundary was being violated. Okay. P, physical. This one's easy to understand. Is someone doing things with you physically that they should not be doing, your physical body. That should not be happening. Your physical body needs to be respected. So we talk about relative to other people, boundaries. We're talking areas in which there are boundaries. Is somebody touching you in inappropriate ways? They're violating a boundary. Are you touching somebody in inappropriate ways? You're violating a boundary. Okay. So, and God talks about our bodies and how they're sacred and how they're vessels and how they're temples of the Holy Spirit and how they're to be placed on the altar because they're sacrifices. Your body is sacred and our physical boundaries need to be respected. And spiritual boundaries, we want to be careful that we're not teaching things that we're requiring people to do things that are not biblical. And so we think of boundaries, it's really, really important that we respect people's boundaries and require people to respect our boundaries also. Relative to society, capital C, relative to society, we have the law. It's very important that we honor the law. There's a law of the land. You know, it's important that we're people of integrity relative to that law. And, you know, recently, within the last year, I got involved in a situation where there were some legalities. So what do? I made a phone call. I said, I need to talk. Here's what happened, because I wanted to come completely clear so that there's absolute integrity on my part relative to the law of the land. Structure and order. It's really important that we're people who will bring structure and order into the society around us. And relative to the society around us and the structure and the order and being a functional part, I just was thinking about so many experiences, some practical experiences here that have happened in my life. And one of them was, as a farmer, we'd make hay, and then we'd put it in a barn, and we'd sell hay in the wintertime. And farmers would sometimes try to tell me, well, your hay's not worth very much. And I wasn't quite sure how to deal with that. You know, so what I would say, well, I guess if you don't think it's worth anything, just leave it here, no problem. But sometimes I would say, well, why don't you take the hay and feed it to your cows and see what it was like, and then pay me what it's worth. Is that being a person of integrity? Is that asking them to be a person of integrity? Okay. So, you know, instead of me dealing with the price and, you know, well, the price is down this week, I can't pay it as much. Okay, well, that's fine. So let's be people of absolute integrity relative to some of these deals. I remember many years ago I was told, if you do business with this particular preacher, you're going to lose money every time. And I took a load of hay to the sale one time, and here comes this preacher. I thought, I wonder what he's going to say. And he said, I'll give you $65 a ton for that hay. You don't have to wait for the auction. Take it home, put it in my barn. But those words came back to my ears, right? Oh, if you deal with this man, you'll lose every time. So I said, well, I'm here now. I guess I'll stay at the auction and see what it brings. It brought over $100 a ton. Okay? See, I didn't forget that. Because here's a man who was not a man of integrity. Okay? He was trying to take advantage of other people. But then there was another man who hauled hay for us. And he was very particular, an older Mennonite man, kept his truck nice, and we'd throw the hay out of the barn, you know, it's dusty and dark in there, and every now and then he'd say, well, that bale's not too nice, Frank, I'll throw it back in again, okay? He wanted nice hay on there, and you know, when he hauled my hay, I always got more for the hay. Why? Because the buyers knew there were no surprises in that load of hay. He didn't want anything in that load that was not integrity. And he had a reputation that benefited me and benefited the buyer also. They could trust what was on there. So we need to think in terms of being integrity all the way through, you know, all the way through our lives. It's really important that we are people of integrity. Another story, an old man named Ralph from Mannheim, and he was sort of a cranky old man, but the neighbors had a house they wanted to sell, and he wanted to buy the house. And so he offered them so much for the house, and they said, nope, we need much more for the house. He said, no, it's worth this much, and I'll give you this much. Well, they wouldn't sell. Finally, they couldn't sell it, so they put it on an auction, and guess who bought it? Ralph bought it. Guess how much he paid for it? Way less than they had asked, way less than he offered. What would you do? Came to the attorney's office, time to write the checks. Attorney said so much. Ralph said, nope. I told you how much it's worth. That's how much it's worth. That's what I'm going to pay you. He paid the price he offered. Is that being a man of integrity? That's pretty hard to swallow, isn't it? Especially for people like us who know how to buy from Jews and sell to Scots and still get rich, right? So, a little rough on us. But I can tell you another story. My father-in-law bought a tractor on an auction, farm auction, bought a tractor, way cheap, went to pay, and the farmer said, you know what, I have more in the overhaul than you paid for that tractor. My father-in-law said, how much do you want? And he paid him what he needed. Is that being integrous? Can we do that? Am I stepping on too many toes? Can we be people of integrity? I know a good friend of mine, those two men are not living, so I'm telling their stories. Another friend of mine saw a cement mixer out for sale in front of a house. Stop, there's a widow lady, Her husband died. She's selling a cement mixer. It was way cheap. And he said, you know what, Mrs., it's worth more than that. I'm going to pay you what it's worth. So let's think real hard about the way we relate to people in society. The way we relate to people is going to show our integrity or the lack of it. Okay, let's be really, really careful because those kinds of things do happen. In relative to society, also we want to make sure that we're being a functional part, not people who are leeching on society, but people who are productive, people who are providing a service, providing a product. And we just heard it from AF here just a little bit ago in this room here, how that we are a very, very wealthy people because we are doing so well with providing services, providing products, and we're doing so very well with that. And that speaks so well for us, and we need to make sure that we continue to doing that. Relative to your ministry, are you being a person of integrity relative to your ministry? And hopefully we are. We need to be faithful. We need accountability. We need to make sure we're living above reproach. Every now and then somebody challenges my reputation and says, you know, you've been teaching a long time, and, you know, have you done everything right? Well, no, I haven't done everything right. But even after teaching for more than half of my life, how long would it take me to ruin my reputation? How long would it take? About 30 seconds, okay? All I have to do is do something of a moral or ethical or financial. And what would happen? Do you think I'd be standing here? You think Faith Builders would call me on the phone? It would not happen. And you know that, okay? How important is it that we're living lives of absolute integrity? How important is that? That's the building block of everything we're doing. That's the building block of everything we're doing. So relative to our ministry, make sure that you're making yourself very accountable. There are people to whom you're accountable. If you're in a ministry and you're not accountable to anybody, and recently I got involved in something like that, there was a ministry, but there was no accountability. If you listen to Richie Lauer here just a few minutes ago, he said the people who work in the organization cannot serve on the board. Why not? There's got to be accountability. There's got to be a way of guarding that integrity. And, you know, you get involved in something where that doesn't happen, and all of a sudden, there are serious problems. You get involved in something like that. There's nobody to whom to be responsible and accountable. When I think about that, I think about 1 Kings 4 and the text from which we get our song, It Is Well With My Soul. If you read that, it's a very fascinating, good place to get some sermon or lesson material. It's well with my soul. And when the prophet sends the message to this woman who has now lost her child, he asked her three questions. He said, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? Now, I think I would have asked the other way. I would have, first of all, said, how's the baby? How's the little boy? But he didn't do that. You understand what I'm saying? I'd be concerned about the child. No, he says, is it well with you? And I think there's a huge message here for us to learn. As God comes to us, the first question is it well with you? And then is it well with your husband? In other words, is it well between you and the people to whom you're accountable? She was accountable to her husband. Is it well between you and the people to whom you're accountable? And then is it well with your child? Is it well with you and the people for whom you're accountable? Is that a lesson from God or what? Is it well with you? And we turn to Acts 20:28, and where Paul is giving advice. We're talking about our ministry here. Paul's giving advice to the Ephesian elders, and the first thing he says to them is, take heed to yourself. Now, as Anabaptists, we don't like to draw attention to ourselves. We always want to make sure the attention is going somewhere else. We want to be humble. But the Bible says, take heed to yourself. And then take heed to the flock. And why would that be? If you don't take heed to yourself, if you don't take heed to your own integrity, if you don't take heed to your own relationship to God, you're not going to be good for anybody else. You won't be valuable to anybody else. And so Acts 20:28, Paul says, take heed to yourself. And then take heed to the flock. Realizing that God has made you an overseer. Realizing that God, the Holy Spirit, has made you an overseer. And since he has, your responsibility is to feed the flock. Your responsibility is to value the flock and feed the flock and shepherd the flock, because he purchased that flock with his own blood. And I stand in front of people hours a day for years of my life, and that's what I believe. Is it well with my heart? Do I have an open relationship with God? Is it well with me? Is my heart right? Is it well with me and the people to whom I'm responsible? Is it well with me and the people for whom I'm responsible? My wife, my family, the students, everybody who's there. Relative to your ministry, are you living a life of absolute accountability? We just cannot overemphasize how important it is that we have accountability and also that we have integrity over loyalty. Make sure that you are putting integrity above loyalty. It's got to be right. It's got to be true. And you know, so many times what's happened in that is that we are defending things we should not be defending. We're defending people we should not be defending. Somebody's out of line and we don't tell the truth about it. That is not integrity. It doesn't mean you have to be unkind. It doesn't mean you have to be nasty. It doesn't mean you have to be harmful. But you must tell the truth so that this integrity can happen. And after that, it's fine to be loyal. But when you're loyal before you have integrity, you will destroy the truth. Make sure that we're keeping people over programs. People over programs. People are more important than the programs. You know, what is it that has to work? What has to work is that we've got to be ministering to individuals. We've got to minister to individuals, and we can't allow people to slip through our fingers and slip through the cracks just because we're trying to preserve a system or a program. And I think what you see here, this REACH conference, you see all the ministries that are represented. And I've talked to some of my good friends at Faith Builders, and I said, how much energy does it take to put together a program like this? I cannot imagine what that takes. You know, these men are men of integrity. They're men of absolute integrity, men whom I trust. And they're putting people over the programs. They are here to minister to you. They're here to bless you. Also, relative to your ministry, sometimes we don't have enough time to develop a friendship with someone before we can minister to them, just because there's not enough time. So how can we minister to someone if we don't have enough time to develop a relationship? Well, you can minister to them by having absolute integrity in your life. And that absolute integrity develops trust. And it does not take so long to develop trust. It takes a long time to develop a relationship. It does not really take quite so long to develop trust. They sit down with you. They know you're somebody can be trusted. And so relative to your ministry, we also want to make sure that we are people of absolutely trustworthiness. Relative to yourself, there is a moral responsibility. A moral responsibility to yourself. And as we think about that, it's just so critical. And I think about people who maybe did something and, oh, we got under the wire with that one. There's an illustration that comes from something probably we won't ever get involved in. But in athletics, there's an illustration that's come across history. There's a difference between catching the ball and trapping the ball. Okay? Just tell you a story that I think is kind of a gripping story here. If you happen to be involved in or understand games like baseball and football and things like that, where the ball goes from one person to another, and the question is, you know, when the person is supposed to catch the ball, when they get there, you know, and the ball is coming, do they get their hand underneath the ball? All right? If they do, they've caught the ball. What if they get to the ball gets to the ground the same time they get there and they get their hand on top of the ball? That's called trapping the ball. You understand the difference? You either caught it or else you trapped it. Sometimes the refs can't tell the difference. And there was a game in which a young man trapped the ball and the ref called it a catch. And the stands were going crazy because he won the game for them. And he walked over and he told the ref, I trapped the ball. And the ref canceled the call. And the stands went quiet. What would you have done? What would you have done? That was only a game. But you might be dealing with somebody's life. Are you going to tell the truth? If you make a mistake, are you going to say, I did it? Or are you going to live your life realizing that you've got that hidden someplace? You understand the illustration? Can we be people of absolute integrity? Absolute integrity. And that's why I told you some of those illustrations. When Abraham wanted to buy a plot of land to bury his wife, and he was offered the land for free. Anybody remember what he said? How much is the price? He said, as much as it's worth, I'll pay. He didn't try to gyp these people. He didn't try to tell them this ground isn't worth anything. He said, I'll pay you as much as it's worth. Can we be people of absolute integrity? Relative to ourselves, you know, you have to live with those kinds of things. You have to live with those kinds of things. And we need to require excellence of our lives. So requiring excellence of your life means that you're going to be a person of commitment. It means that you're going to be a person who, whatever is your task in life, you're going to be doing it well. You're going to be doing it absolutely to the best. You're going to be the best truck driver. You're going to be the best nurse. You're going to be the best teacher. You're going to be the best mechanic. Require excellence, require the discipline of your personal life so that as you require that excellence of yourself and the discipline shows to the people around you that you absolutely are going to give them a day's work for a day's pay. You're absolutely going to take the best care of them that you can possibly take. When they drive out with the vehicle that you've repaired, they know that this thing is guaranteed or you're going to fix it again. So can we be absolutely people of excellence? As I teach, as I study, and I try to do the research I need to do to make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth, can I be a man of absolute excellence? And that takes discipline. That takes hours at night. That takes hard work. That takes diligence and discipline that's difficult for us to sometimes think that it would really be necessary, but it really does. So, as a moral responsibility here, excellence in relationships. You know, one of the things, especially as I talk to men, and we did read from Psalm 101, as I talk to men, one of the things I try and encourage them to think about the beauty that God has given us with the girls around us, our mothers, our sisters, our wives. Can we learn to see and appreciate beauty without allowing lust? You know, you really can, and you must. We're talking about being a man of integrity. You know, you can see the beauty that God has placed in his creation without allowing that to turn you into some person who is committing sin in your heart. And a couple of illustrations here, safe illustrations, of course. When you think about the Old Testament and you think about Ahab and Naboth, you remember that story? Ahab and Naboth. Ahab's driving along. Could he help foreseeing this beautiful vineyard? No. But what did he do? He did not leave the vineyard there where it was, did he? He took the vineyard along in his heart. And he started obsessing about Naboth's vineyard. And what happened? He was not a man of integrity. That vineyard didn't belong to him, but he was acting like it was his. He took it along in his heart. And in his heart he was obsessing about it and throws a tantrum on his bed and his wife. I'm just telling you. The way the story comes across to me, his wife said, well, you don't have to act like that. You can have what you want. And so somebody had to die so he could get that vineyard. You know, it's the same thing with us today, men. You see something that's beautiful. You see a person who's attractive. That's because God made it that way. If it's not yours, leave it there. Can you do that? Psalm 101 says, I will walk into my house with a perfect heart. Keep that verse in your mind, man. I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. I can't do sinful things. I can't be looking at things I shouldn't be looking at and still walk into my house and see my children and grandchildren and my wife with a perfect heart. I can't do that. I'm going to have to put some kind of a discipline and a guard there, so I do. I've spent half of my life teaching young people, very attractive young ladies. I have absolutely guarded my heart. Can you do that? You can do that. You can keep pornography out of your life. I know I'm only supposed to talk about that in a men's group, but I'm too old to wait for that time. So I'm talking about it to everybody. Sometimes, man, we're going to see things we really maybe didn't want to see, or maybe we did want to see it. And you know, if you have integrity, you're going to say, no, that's not going to go along with me in my heart. If you don't, it's going to destroy you. And unfortunately, I have to work with many people who are struggling with these kinds of things. It's just simply a lack of integrity. You know, you're allowing some destruction to come into your life. Learn to see beauty and appreciate it without allowing lust. Okay? Now, a little interesting story here. I was talking to one of my neighbors some years ago. You know, the devil can bring things at us in so many different ways. And, you know, he's an athlete, and he's a worldly man, pretty good, talented in many ways. And he was telling me how he has all this kind of lust. And I said, you know your neighbor down the road here? Yeah. He said, what about it? I said, would you believe when I go past that farm, I could have some lust in my heart? That didn't make any sense to him at all, right? Because he's a city man, and he's living out in the country. I said, you know, when I see that barn, that nice straight roof line, and I see the corn and the alfalfa and the wheat, you know, going around the strips, I said, do you know that could cause lust in my heart? He said, that's impossible. All he could smell was the manure when he drove past there, you know. But, you know, as a farm boy, that could cause me a lot of trouble. That could cause me a lot of, you know. And I have to tell myself, no, that's not your farm. God didn't give that to you. As a man of integrity, I cannot allow that kind of thing to just start destroying me inside. And so, you know, God makes us different, and the devil knows where he can come at us, and we have to be careful that we don't allow that kind of thing into our lives, no matter what it is, okay? Have a plan for growth. Do you have a plan for growth for your life? If you want to be a person of integrity, that means you're going to get stronger, you're going to learn more, learn skills, spend more time with the Scripture, get to know God better, learn to know people better, find ways in which you can support them, have plans for growth in your life in every way. Boundaries in your life, we already talked about boundaries. Just make sure that you are experiencing boundaries in your life so that when things come into your life that don't belong there, you'll make sure that they don't stay. One more area I wanted to talk about. It looks like we'll have time for it. And I think I'm going to open it up for your discussion. See if you have questions or comments or things you'd like to say. As I said, it's supposed to be a workshop, not a message. So even though I've taken almost all the time here. One more area, and that's in the area of dating. So many times I hear so many sad stories about dating, and because I've worked with young people so long. And I can tell you, though, in my own life, you know, I want to leave my own testimony with you, that I have attempted to live a life of absolute integrity, and by the grace of God, I think that has happened. I didn't say things like that before I was about 65 years old, but now I'm 66, and, you know, God has been so faithful to me, and, you know, my dating experience from many years ago was very positive, and dating experience, you know, well, courting between young men and young women can be a very positive experience, but I want to talk to the young men. I know the girls get upset because I'm always talking to the boys, but, you know, God has made a plan here. It's a very simple plan. It's godly men, okay, and godly women getting married and raising obedient children. That's God's plan. We can all go home now. Now you know the plan. Be a godly man, marry a godly woman, raise obedient children, and they grow up to do it all over again. That's God's plan. But it starts with godly men. And so I ask my students, what's the problem with the world? Any students out here? Men. Okay, thank you. The problem with the world is men. What is God's answer to the problems of the world? Godly men. Do you believe that? That's the answer to the problems of the world. Men, it's in your hands. Either you're the problem or else you're the answer. And that's the way it is. You know, young ladies tell me they'd love to date, but they're just not sure they can trust the young men. That's our fault, man. That's our fault. Absolute integrity. Present your body a living sacrifice before God, and you'll be somebody the young ladies can trust. And this is critically, critically important. I know the girls have responsibility. The way they dress and behave is important. But it's my call to talk to the men. A couple of little stories here. A young lady who was dating a young man, 30 years later they met and talked a little bit, and her response was, Thank you for respecting me 30 years ago. That's pretty critical. Respect. Absolute respect. You're dating someone, courting someone, men. A lot of young people here today. We had them all stand, right? One of the earlier girls, I guess, had you all stand up. Absolute integrity is what God's expecting. Absolute integrity. Never a hint. I hear stories about things, young men are expecting things of young ladies that they should not be expecting. Absolute respect. Absolute respect. Love and respect go like together like that. And that's what God, the call of God on your life is that absolute respect. Well, I think it's time for me to allow you comments here. There are 5 minutes left in our session. So what comments or questions would you have to say? Maybe some stories about integrity. This is being recorded, so if you don't leave too many big gaps on the recording, then the people listening to the recording will find it more interesting. So your turn. Okay, when people don't walk in integrity and the truth is not known and it takes a while till it comes out, till it's known, well, time will eventually bring the truth. And sometimes we just have to wait for that to happen. Sometimes you know the truth and you know the truth is not being told, and we want to tell the truth with love. At the same time, we do want to tell the truth, and sometimes we just have to wait till God's timing can bring the truth out. But we don't want to wait too long. Wait too long and, the leak in the roof will ruin the barn, right? Okay, other questions, comments? Yes? Okay, Brother Dave has some comments here, and he's recommending the ladies do not read romance novels. Is that right? I forgot to mention that. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. He's also mentioning, whether we believe something or not believe something and why. Many times that has to do with the person's reputation. So if you've got a person with a questionable reputation and you hear something about them, you'll tend to believe something negative. Or if they've got a sterling reputation, you'll tend not to. But in either case, it'd be best to get the truth. Yeah. Okay, other questions or comments in the last 2 minutes of our time here? Okay, Trevor's question has to do with how far do we relinquish our freedom to bless other people? Well, if you do that to the logical extension, you won't be able to do anything because somebody will be offended about it. So the Bible uses the word scandalon, which means a stumbling block. And so I think it's important that we don't put a stumbling block in somebody's way. But at the same time, just because they're upset about something does not necessarily mean that that caused them to sin. So I think Brother Tim had a question in the back. Okay, you're saying, what would be three things that could be trapping our young men today? Unfortunately, probably the number one thing is pornography. And it's just such a huge trap. It's so available, and it's just right there in front of them. I guess in answering the question here in 30 seconds, I'm thinking, how do we deal with that? Deal with that. As one person has said, I'm not sure who, but only passion can cure passion. That is to say, only being passionate for God is going to cure physical passions. And I can tell you that that's true. I can tell you that spending time with God and His Word, and I know it's a cliche, I understand it, but if you will do it, you'll find solid joys and lasting pleasures in studying the Word of God. And then the things of this world will not look quite so attractive. Well, thank you very much. You've given good attention. I trust it's been a good time for you and that you'll commit yourselves to being people of absolute integrity. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders Educational Programs. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.